This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 69.
You can only do so much if you make 60, 70, 80, 100 grand a year. You've got to have more than one way to make money. Like, it's the 21st century. Stop thinking like in a like very tunnel vision type way. So now the question just becomes what?
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today's guests are Craig Klickner and Carrie Bolig. I'm really excited to have them. Hey, guys, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having us on, man. Anything finances, we love to talk about it. So
especially Craig.
Especially Craig gets overly excited. So yeah, I'm all ready to dork out, man. Whatever we got to do.
Awesome. Hey, so I want to talk a little bit about your background, right? The two of them met as singles while building their own businesses, but their paths to entrepreneurship were very different. Craig first began to consider creating his own business while working as a banking risk analyst in 2003. Carrie began her business while studying sociology and women's studies at the University of Wisconsin. Living a modest student lifestyle, she was open to hearing about any opportunity that could earn her extra income. They met a few years later, right? And Craig and Carrie appreciate the flexibility that their business affords them. It's also allowed them to focus on philanthropy. As parents, they appreciate creating something meaningful that will outlive them while inspiring and empowering people around the world. I absolutely love your background, guys. The fact that just in that alone, that it just shows how much you want to give back. And I'm really excited to share your story today.
Thanks a lot for having us on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave a little bit about your background. And the way I like to typically start things off is to know a little bit more. So if you could share with us a little bit about yourself, your story. How did you guys get started?
Yeah, absolutely. My background was finance and econ, got the big hotshot banking job and worked in Deutsche Bank and then commercial finance for G Capital. I was doing well, getting some raises, but realized I just didn't want to work for someone else forever. That just came with a set of limitations. And we talk about this a lot, but most of us are more dynamic than our job. So stop trying to get a job that's going to complete you because it's not going to happen. It's like having a spouse that tries to fulfill all roles. So here I was frustrated. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I did what everyone did in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. I bought my first piece of real estate. I started investing in the stock market and I went to MBA school. Right? And what else do? You work hard and you do those things. So here I am. But the challenge was with real estate is it wasn't scalable without a lot of capital or risk. And then same with investing. And then MBA school was a waste of time for me, at least. It was just more of the same and how to climb up in the corporate ladder, which I knew I didn't really want to do. So I was in a space of just feeling a little frustrated and trying to run all these plays and then ended up meeting some people who'd built and leveraged building online communities. Driving revenue that way. And they used a direct sales system and then some affiliate marketing in a way that I was like, okay, well, this is something that I can get into at a low cost at 24 years old and like scale and at least learn some things. And so I started to engage with that and started to create a little progress. And then through that, I actually met the woman sitting here to my left and fell deeply in love. And that's where a side hustle story turns love story. But as we tell people on a podcast like this, we'll save the love story for a different podcast. We'll spare you. So let me kick it over to Carrie and then she can talk. And then we'll just talk a little bit about, Joe, if this is helpful, maybe Mike, what we do now. And then that'll allow us to have a conversation about wherever you want to take it.
Sure.
Yeah. And so my background is pretty different, as you mentioned, Mike. Very liberal studies background. I really hardly even had a resume when I decided to start side hustling. And for me, it was just this idea of the claustrophobia of going into the job world and knowing like I can't travel more than a week or two a year, and just the limitations of my lifestyle having a teacher's salary. That was the field I went into. So just being pretty candid about what my options were, which were not a lot, because I didn't really have capital. I didn't have experience. I didn't really have a lot of professional skill sets coming from my background. So it was, again, how do I access people who can support me and help me, people that maybe had more of the lifestyle that I wanted to create, and just get in their back pocket and fight really hard to be in their inner circle and in their association so I could learn by association. I also have a very athletic background growing up. So there's this piece of my experience getting into a job where, man, if I show up earlier, I love my kids that I'm teaching more, I work harder. There's no position, there's no performance-based compensation. And so I think for me, once I discovered entrepreneurship, especially more of a moderate way of approaching it, like we say, there's more of a spectrum. Like most people are not the Mark Zuckerbergs or the Elon Musks. Most people, especially in this day and age, also aren't looking to work for someone else into their 60s or 70s. It's like this, Craig calls it the ambiverts of entrepreneurship. Most people have that moderate approach. And so for me, leveraging that competitive nature, it was a neat option to just take some evenings and weekends and really slowly, incrementally build something out. And by the time I was in my mid-20s, we'd scaled our first business to about $1 million in revenue. So that actually helped me make the transition. Several years later, and then we started to add an educational company, started to dabble with more affiliate marketing. But at that point, we were able to then help Craig scale out of his commercial banking career. And for a number of years, we actually just banked all our business income. And we're able, you say 110% of our income we banked, which finance guy, so.
110% of my job income we banked, yes. Nice. So the whole idea was, how do we build something up substantial cash flow and not have this like binary, like I'm all in or I'm all out. Like I'm going to be a business owner or nothing. And it was like, for us, no, let's create like another source of revenue. And here's maybe our biggest theme we can give people today. Because if you're into real estate or investing, that's great. You can only do so much if you make 60, 70, 80, 100 grand a year. You've got to have more than one way to make money. Like it's the 21st century. Stop thinking like in a like very tunnel vision type way. So now the question just becomes what? So in our case, we built in those industries, scaled some businesses, started educating, started public speaking. That led way to some more investing where we got into the real estate, some little Airbnb we have now, like a lake house, and then some commercial real estate. And then we do a fair amount of affiliate marketing because we have great relationships with other folks. And then now we have a podcast and the chance to chase our passion projects, like writing the book we just wrote, which we're lucky McGraw-Hill is willing to take a chance on us. And the nonprofit, which is Tandem Giving, which supports kids in need. But our main thought process was like, how do we customize and create the life that we want? How do we use entrepreneurship as a tool to like build a great life? And I think that's where a lot of people get mixed up, and or they invest, over-invest when they have no experience in business ownership, and a lot of different problematic areas we can start to, you know, dive into wherever you think would be most helpful for you and your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to rewind back because there's something that you said at the beginning there, how you can't have a job that completes you. And that kind of just really spoke to me a bit, because a lot of people feel like they're going to get this job satisfaction or this gratification out of going into a certain career field. And then they get into it and realize, man, this is not what I expected it to be. It's either a little more difficult, or I'm not getting the monetary return that I thought I was going to get, and different things like that. Whereas you're building something yourself from the ground up, you have that like pride, that pride of ownership.
Exactly.
So I want to touch on the fact that, so you guys both started this off as side hustles, right? So you still remained in your 9-to-5 corporate job and your teaching job, right, Carrie?
Yeah.
And you guys did that while you were building this up, right? So you started doing affiliate marketing and teaching, even up to public speaking and being able to build your network that way. So by doing this while you were still working your 9-to-5, you weren't putting yourselves in a spot where your finances would be affected. You were still living your lifestyle for the most part, because you were taking now a lot of your free time and putting that into your side hustle, which is something similar to what I'm doing right now as I'm finishing up my career in the Navy. I do a lot of this stuff on the side, my podcast. I'm also a real estate agent. I do that on the side. And I take a lot of my free time. I don't have that much free time right now. But the way I look at it is, I'll soon retire from the Navy and be a full-time entrepreneur. And the stuff that I've built leading up to that is going to give me that head start that I need. So I just wanted to touch on that, the fact that you guys continued to do your everyday job and started these side hustles. And not a lot of people have that drive or that motivation. So I just want to say congratulations for what you guys have done. That's absolutely amazing. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what you guys do with affiliate marketing, right? And you just recently wrote a book, you said?
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's amazing. So can we talk about that? Because I do a little bit of affiliate marketing, but probably not to the level that you all do. Can you maybe talk about like how you got started or what drove you to do a specific, I guess, a specific way of doing your affiliate marketing? Was there a specific niche that you guys targeted and locked down?
Yeah. So we probably do it a different way than a lot of the classic, you might say, online type stuff that's being done. So our thing was that over time, we created good relationships with other business owners. And we started to get good at referring people. And I remember I was bad at referring people initially because I would just be like, oh, needs a job and this person is hiring, go talk to them. And then 6 months later, there would be some issue. And so we started to become very, I guess, particular and vet our referrals so that when we do refer someone to another organization or someone else's business or say even a podcast, there is a lot of gravity behind it and people know that those folks are going to be a good fit. And so what we actually have is a lot of ad hoc relationships with different business owners that will pay us to refer people to them. But we're only referring if we actually think like they're going to get the value and it's going to be a good win for both parties.
And we've used the service or product.
Yeah, we've used the service or product. Yeah, or we have a relationship. And so there's a lot of different examples, you know, you can give of that. But like podcasting is an example, right? If someone's on your show and you say you've monetized your podcast in a big way, you can say, yeah, I'll give you a referral or affiliate marketing, be an affiliate for us. So there's a lot of different things that you can do. In terms of the online stuff, we've set it up a little bit differently where we've actually synergized with like direct sales and or network marketing where they actually have affiliate relationships so we can drive traffic online and get paid that way. But it's very low touch, like extremely low touch, low margin, but low touch. But then we've created a lot of revenue that way. And going into the technical aspects might not be as helpful for people unless they really want to go that direction. But those are just some ways that we've done it. And I think most people know other small business owners and most small business owners love good referrals. Mm-hmm. And I would say if you're a small business owner now, consider giving people affiliate type programs. So we're co-founding a tech company right now, and we have it set up that if we have a group of affiliates, if they refer people in, we'll give them ongoing revenue for that referral, but they're just a contractor. They don't have to have this big business. Now it's a side hustle for them. One more way to make income to their streams, and everybody wins, and we don't pay them anything unless a referral actually comes and a client pays. So there was a little section in our book, like one little part, and I'm like, we could probably write an entire book just on affiliate marketing from that perspective, but that might be a little different than maybe some of the classic stuff that's happening online.
Yeah, for sure. Just so you know, like I also do that too myself. So I have, the podcast editing team that I hired, they've been absolutely phenomenal and I fully onboarded them and now offer that service to other podcasters. And I actually have an affiliation link that I send out that for folks that like the service and want to bring other people in, they can get an affiliate link and then they can get paid a commission for each person that they bring in that uses the service, which
exactly.
Is pretty awesome so far. Yeah, that's definitely something that works, especially as you build your network, which is one of the things that the two of you have been doing, mm-hmm. building these relationships. Like you said, you built these relationships with these businesses. And that's one of the things that I've loved so much about what I'm doing with this podcast right now is that I get to talk to amazing guests like yourselves. And I stay in touch with all my guests after the show. Like after we stop recording, I stay in touch because I genuinely enjoy the conversations that we have. It's not just a ploy to get people to listen to the show. I absolutely love having these conversations. And it's been, you can see I've been taking notes while you're talking to me. And this is my little black book of knowledge. So each guest that comes on, I get these little tidbits of fantastic information, and I've already got almost a whole page from what the two of you have said. So yeah, I'm writing some notes about what you're saying, but I'm also writing notes on like different things that you're saying, hey, this is good and everything. Absolutely awesome. So you guys are building your business around building your network and building relationships, which is huge. But on top of that, you're also giving back. We talked a little bit about in your background about the philanthropy, and you had mentioned that you guys give back, you said it was a children's
Yeah. So we have our nonprofit Tandem Giving, and we've got one of the arms of that actually helps older children in the adoption process, actually on an international level in Colombia and Eastern Europe. Most people, if they're looking to adopt, tend to adopt younger infants, toddlers. Mm-hmm. So older children have about a 1% chance of getting adopted. And once they age out of the system, they're honestly just out on the streets and very susceptible to the sex traffic industry, drug trade, all of that. So with some of the grants and monies that we're able to help support families who are looking to adopt, it actually increases the chances of about 70% for some of these children. So it's been a really neat organization to feed into. And our goal is, as we build up the funds, to be able to have some of that actually go towards more of an endowment fund, where the interest on the money will actually create more perpetual giving. So we like to talk about ongoing income, but perpetual giving, ongoing giving, is also really the vision for us.
Yeah, so that's almost like a compound interest effect on what you're giving back to them. So that's awesome. So it's called Tandem. I definitely want to have a tidbit of that in my show notes for anybody that wants to check it out and maybe help give a little bit to that, because that's amazing. Because, and I know this is like off topic a bit, when it comes to children, so I have two daughters, right? They mean the world to me. And when it comes to, I think about the age that they're at right now, they're a little bit older now. And it's, if they were in a situation like that and having to be stuck in foster homes or in different things where they're not getting the opportunity to have a loving family, there's so many children that are in their, you know, preteens, early teens that mm-hmm. don't get that opportunity. And that really is a shame. Programs like that kind of speak to my heart. So I just want to say that's amazing, guys. Thank you for doing what you do with that.
Yeah, we're just getting warmed up. The vision is pretty big. And like you talked about association for children, if people don't have a family association, so much of our success is a function of the people that we've associated with. So when children don't even have like families that have a healthy base, it's just, it's an important thing to address and try to work towards change and progress. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to try to drive it back on topic a little bit, but yeah, that is definitely, that's something we could probably have a whole other podcast episode about.
Yeah,
not necessarily on this podcast, but you guys got a lot of things you could talk about. There's probably a couple of romance podcasts you can go on and all
that. Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday.
I want to bring it back a little bit. So how did you guys get started into public speaking? Like, what was like your first engagement and how did that go for you?
Yeah. So I think what's nice about direct sales or the network marketing industry is you have to slowly build up and you have to start to work on your communication skills and be able to communicate effectively and answer questions in a one-on-one setting. And so many people are very afraid of public speaking, myself included. I had a professor come up to me in college after I freaked out during a college speech and literally say, "Hey, don't worry about it. Public speaking's not your thing." And now here we are like 15 years later, we speak to 20,000 people a year in non-COVID times, obviously. And it's like fun. It's no big deal. It's a strength. But the challenge for most people is they never get into an environment where they have to do it regular. And so then they never develop the confidence. It's like if you only had to drive once a year, like all day, the whole week before, you're like, "Oh my gosh, I got to drive tomorrow." But when you drive daily, it just becomes like this habit. And so I think a big part of public speaking is getting in an environment. And there's a lot of different small groups or networking groups, everything from BNI, I don't know if they have that in Hawaii, to like something less formalized, to Toastmasters, to other types of organizations that you can be a part of where you just get a feel for it. And there's maybe not this high risk performance like in a job where now you have to do this big presentation, you're nervous, it's very corporate, and there's all these PowerPoints and you can't really relax. I think that's really where we got to go. And then doing it over and over and over again starts to work out the nerves because most people are so freaked out that they can't actually be themselves. So you have to do it enough, you get through the nerves. Then you can focus on content, and not only content, but how you deliver a message, especially in the public speaking game, is just as important as the content itself. Because if you can't hold people's attention, then you lose folks. So we tried to dial in, I think, pretty early on people who were good at it and people who sucked at it. And why? Like, why do I zone out? What, some professors or whoever, like, you can't follow them for 5 minutes. Like, why? And then other people, they start talking and you're just dialed in. You could hear every word for an hour. It's like, why? When you can answer those questions and start to replicate it through practice, I think a lot more people could be brilliant public speakers and orators if they have, again, if they have the environment, right? And good examples.
And willing to put the work in. And one thing that's been really cool is we haven't really leveraged social media to build our businesses. The first decade, it was all hand-to-hand networking and kind of old school style grassroots. But the last 2.5, we've gotten on social media and just done a lot of video content creation. And I can say that even though I'd been speaking for many years prior to that, just like 1 minute clips on social media have actually helped me elevate my public speaking game in a very fun, exciting way. And that maybe somebody doesn't live in a city with a speakers bureau or like a good networking group to help them with those skills, jump on social media and start to consistently put some content out, because that in itself is a really good feedback loop to just see a video clip of yourself and hone the skill. And as you do that, then you can scale up. Maybe you work to do some free speaking gigs. Maybe then over time you start to charge more. For Craig and I, we were actually, one of our most fun speaking trips was actually an invitation to Australia, where we spoke to probably a couple thousand entrepreneurs for a weekend. But what was neat is that we were halfway across the world, well, really across the world. We brought our kids, all our siblings, both sets of our parents, and we don't have traditional jobs. So we said, let's take the rest of the month. It was February. Winter in Wisconsin, said, let's just travel around Australia, do up New Zealand. And for me as a teacher, that was like the ultimate lifestyle I envisioned. Like at 22, when I was missing happy hours, I wasn't going on every camping trip weekend with my buddies. It's, I want to work so hard in my 20s and build something so strong and build me that I can monetize what I know and get paid to like go live out my dream and travel with my family and see beautiful places around the world. And a lot of people are thinking like widgets and products, but think about growing yourself as a product so you can productize your knowledge over time.
I like that. Yeah. You think of yourself as a product and monetize your skill set. That's phenomenal. Going back to what you were talking about too, Craig, watching good public speakers and some not so good ones, you realize that you can learn something from both of them.
Yeah.
You learn what not to do from the ones that suck at it. It's the same thing. I go through this at work as well. So being in the military, I often am dealing with some fantastic, phenomenal leaders and some ones that are not so great. And I found that I've learned more and was able to hone my leadership style based off of the not so good ones than the good ones. It's easy to pick apart and take successful skill sets and try to attain them as your own and use it. It's not as easy to look at what people are doing wrong and say, okay, I'm going to force myself to not be that or not do that. I still have trouble, like when I'm speaking, of not having these auditory pauses in there, like with my ums and ahs and saying when things like that. I try to be mindful of it, but I try not to let it get in the back of my mind, because if I think about it too much, it'll pause me up and it'll mess me up. Going into all that, communication skills, like you said, it's super important, right? No matter what field you're going into or what you're trying to do, you need to be able to communicate, whether you're going to public speak or not. Whatever you're going to do as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to speak and I guess sell yourself, right?
And even if you're like an engineer and you know how to public speak, man, your salary just increased. Or you're an accountant who also knows how to public speak. You can then develop into different roles that pay more and you just become so much more dynamic.
Yeah, you're going to be the person that they go to that they say, hey, we have an event coming up and we need somebody that could speak smartly on this topic. Can you help us out? And it's just another opportunity for you to showcase your, and like you said, like you guys started this off as a side gig before it became your full-time job. And this is just one of the things that you guys are doing and being able to go out and speak publicly. You know, this is one of the things I enjoy about this podcast as well, is being able to talk to this audience and be able to get the message out there and be able to share a message like yours. This is another opportunity. Like you said, you do those little clips online and you watch yourself and you can critique yourself. Absolutely, I listen to all my podcast episodes after they're recorded. Even after my editing team has edited it and sent it back to me, I'll sit there and listen to it and say, this is probably something I could do better next time. Or I do, I criticize myself and I take notes on myself as well. Because the goal is to always get yourself a little bit better every day, because if you're doing that, you're going to be unstoppable. Okay, this is fantastic stuff, you guys. And there's so many things I want to ask you. Based off of what we just talked about, creating relationships. So I want to talk about that a little bit. So you got into public speaking. When you're talking about the network that you built, you created these relationships with these different business partners. What was it, or what drove you to be able to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I want to work with your business, or I'd like to market your business for you, or whatever way it is that you guys do it. What is it that drove you to reach out to these folks? Because you don't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I want to try to do some affiliate marketing and do this with the business. There had to be some type of plan or attack plan going into it. So what was that for you guys?
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors.
Hey, everybody.
Mike Cavagione here to chat with you about the importance of mindset and accountability to take your real estate investing game to the next level. If there is one consistency across the board for top achievers in all professional fields, it's the use of a mentor to teach them the proper mindset, goal setting, growth, and accountability. My good friend Kyle Robertson with Your Multifamily Mentor wants to fill that role for you. Kyle's been investing in real estate since 2004 and has grown his portfolio to over 100 units of personally owned multifamily real estate. That's right, personally owned, no partners, no syndications, no money raising, just good old-fashioned hustle. Kyle built his business to share everything he has learned along the way in hopes that he could save other investors the time and the trouble of learning the hard way like he did. Kyle's mentorship focuses on multifamily assets, that's apartment buildings of 5 units and larger, located both locally to where you live and across the country. He will go over topics like identifying a good market, creating measurable and achievable goals from day one, creative financing to reduce your out-of-pocket cost to purchase these assets, and so much more. Kyle only accepts 5 mentees at any one time, and he has an opening for a new client right now. Visit www.yourmultifamilymentor.com to read about the mentorship program and get on the fast track to financial independence. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. Let's get back to today's episode.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, so this is a pretty easy one to answer. And again, it wasn't like a, hey, we want to do affiliate marketing, so let's go reach out to these people. What we've done is used people's services. And if the services are good, we promote the services because that's what you do when you like something. I don't care if it's a movie or a restaurant or anything, you promote it. And then when you believe in something enough, I've gone to people, I have people we help, and I can sell you better than you can sell you because I love your services and I know how to communicate because we've harnessed these other skills.
We've been on the other end of as the consumer, right?
As the consumer, and we like have had practice communicating or business development or sales or whatever. And it's like, man, if I kick you whatever, can you share in the revenues? And normally we don't even approach them. They'll a lot of times approach us about it because they know we have influence and they know we're only going to kick over leads that are going to be qualified and vetted and they're going to be easy for them to close and good people that they're going to be excited to work with and vice versa. But if you're just like the affiliate marketing person who's like always sending random people, then now all of a sudden your brand drops.
Diluted,
your credibility isn't the same. So if I refer someone to somebody, that usually there's some gravity to it in a sense that I know that person is going to follow through 80 to 90% of the time. It's going to be a great fit.
Yeah. I wrote that down. That's definitely important, is your credibility. And something that you just said too, Carrie, was diluted, right? You don't want to dilute yourself by just oversaturating somebody with a whole bunch of leads that are going to amount to nothing. You see the same thing in the real estate world. So for when you give referrals to other agents and nothing happens with it, and you keep sending them referrals and then the person's not serious and they don't want to buy there. But the next time you send a referral to that agent, they're going to be like, I'll pass this time. And who knows? It could be like the boy who cried wolf. Like that was going to be the one. You keep sending like these duds and that's what's going to happen. So
yeah. Or you just be one thing I think we've gotten good at is just being really transparent. So I can say, hey, here's where they're at in their journey. Like buying homes is a great example because we know someone who has a good real estate agency. We've given them a lot of referrals. It's here's where they're at. Here's their price point. Here's like what you're probably working with. Here's some challenges and here's why they could be a good fit or not. You decide. Or it's dude, this person's looking for the $1 million home. They've got the cash. Like here's the setup. I think qualifying it or being clear is helpful too.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. I want to, because we're kind of beating up on that a bit. I want to actually ask you guys about when you start your side hustle, right? To when you got to the point where you knew you were bringing enough income in that you can leave your 9-to-5. So when was that for you? So I know you started in banking back in 2003. And Carrie, when did you start as a teacher?
2006.
So in 2006. Well, so how long did it take you guys?
I traveled around. I did a little traveling before I officially Okay. I settled down into the job.
You got a good taste for what you wanted your future to be like anyway.
Exactly.
Awesome. So during that time period, how long did it take you to get to where you're at now, to where you were able to leave your 9-to-5s and be full-time entrepreneur?
For me, it took a handful of years. And really, Craig just had his 5-year anniversary.
Not working
July 1st. So that was pretty exciting. And our son happened to be born the next year on the same day. So unfortunately, his retirement date gets overshadowed by the Star Wars birthday parties. But it's been 5 years.
I like Star Wars myself.
Yeah, I saw that. We had a lot of Yoda stuff at my house on Friday. Yeah, it's been 5 years and our son has never seen Craig go to a traditional job, which is pretty remarkable. So we've been what we call like a free family in a sense. And it's not like we don't sit around and do anything. Now we get to really pick and choose like what passion projects are most important to us. When Craig transitioned, what was interesting is he could have done it sooner. But for us, he's more of a conservative banker type. Didn't want to do anything crazy risky, but we wanted to not have to dip our lifestyle. And I think there's people who are maybe further along on the entrepreneurial spectrum that would have jumped ship from the job earlier. And that's awesome. I commend that. I think that's super cool. But it doesn't have to be immediate either if you want to build up the security a little bit, strengthen your business or your income stream so that when you do pivot or make that transition, your lifestyle can actually increase with it, which is what happened to us. So he actually walked out of his 6-figure banking career the same day we actually closed on our dream home. So it was a pretty epic 24-hour window.
Yeah, that sounds well,
we closed on the house
like,
and
amazing.
We closed on the house and in there, the banker's like, man, I hope you don't lose your job. This is a pretty good sized house. And we're like, both didn't even look up because I was like leaving my job the next day.
Yeah, close on the house first, then leave your job.
Yeah. We took the credibility of the salary for the loan, of course. But yeah, no, it was. So I think that there's a lot we could unpack there, especially with the finances call and having a background. Yeah. I studied concentration financial planning, did several internships in it. Like I know that space really well. And we wrote a book and we call it Life Set. Or a chapter in the book. And it's about if mindset is your way of thinking and your opinions, then life set is your way of living and your choices. And so a lot of people can listen to a great podcast like this, but then they don't, what gets lost in translation is how do I apply these things? Because then like, okay, I need a side hustle. And then they start a lemonade stand, but it's not scalable or whatever. Or they go take out a second mortgage on their home because I'm like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and quit their job. And it's, dude, can you have a sale first? So sometimes it's hard to take the Gary Vaynerchuk's of the world and then convert it to your lifestyle, which is one reason we say the right who and a mentor is so valuable. But in terms of life set, there's so many things you can do to set yourself up well to succeed outside. Like in your case, you have the regular day job. You're going to probably stop at the 20-year mark. Is that kind of the plan with the military?
Yep. I'm actually at 19 now, and I am transferring to my final duty station next month.
Yes.
Exciting. Now, I'm either going to go there for a year and punch out, or I'm going to do the full 3 years because I'm up for promotion. So just... It cool. depends. On the inside, I want to retire next year.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I'll be allowed to. If I decline my promotion, I can. But the fact that I accepted these 3-year orders, I might be forced to stay because they can deny me and say, nope, you accepted orders. You got to fulfill your obligations. So right now I say 1 to 3 years.
Perfect. But so you have a plan though, right? And in doing that, you're also have your side hustles, plural, that you're building up. And hopefully you have some people that are guiding you on that. If not, that would be one of our first recommendations. But the idea then is that you can start to build up these revenue streams. And if you make smart financial decisions, do the 401k, do the Roth, but then stop spending money on stupid shit, if it's okay that I drop the SH word, right?
Yes.
Stop spending money on stupid stuff or shirt, as they say in some funny shows now. And don't spend money on cable. Don't buy the big screen TV. Like stop going to the big sports games. Don't have fancy vacations. Put that money into running a business or real estate or whatever else. And then over time, after 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you're going to have something beautiful and nice that gives you that much more security. And so we talk about making really smart financial decisions, and we can go into that ad nauseum in detail, but over detail. But one of the best things you can do is just keep your lifestyle modest, because if you keep it modest, it's easier to replace your income and have financial peace of mind, not just more income. And I think a lot of people miss the boat on that. And they buy the big house, and especially cars are very dangerous. And we were fortunate. Booklist did a review of our book, and they said that our chapter about life set and savings and buying cars should be in every high school curriculum, because we're just huge proponents of not overspending in those arenas.
There's a lot that should be part of a high school curriculum, especially when it comes to personal finance. It's absolutely mind-boggling that you can graduate high school and you're considered to be an adult and go out and live life when they haven't taught you any basic life skills. But you don't even know how to write a check out of high school. It's absolutely insane. So there's a lot to unpack there. But the first thing I want to talk about is it's very important to have a mentor. Like you said, I have several mentors that I use, coaches that I've used. It's super important because it's people that help you write your path, or you're on the track and they help you stay on that track. And going into it, when it comes to, like you said, I have multiple side hustles. And it's all for good reason, because I want to have multiple streams of income that if something fails, that there's still something else there. So I've gotten myself to a point where my podcast is self-sustainable. I'm not paying for anything out of pocket anymore. The thing with like businesses is, yes, I have my investment accounts. I have my set amount of money that I put into my investment accounts every month. I have my set amount of money that I put to the side for real estate every month. But I also have a set amount of money that I invest into my own personal businesses as well. And it's gotten to the point where it's self-sustaining now, where I'm not taking money from my W-2 job and putting it into the business anymore. It's a pretty exciting transition time for me right now, because now I know that it's going to be self-sustainable when I get out of the Navy. And it's something that will be there, that it's almost 100% passive at this point, where I could just set it and forget it. And it makes me money in my sleep. And that's what I like about it. But it took work. It took effort. It wasn't just something that I was able to put together and call it done. It was this past year of me just grinding to get it to where it's at. And a lot of sweat equity was put into this. And I think people don't appreciate what we call sweat equity as much, because it's about the effort that you put into it. Sure, you're going to have to put some money into it, but if you don't put the effort, it doesn't matter how much money you put into something. It's never going to happen if you don't put your effort and have the right mindset behind it. I want to get your book, and I definitely want to read it, because that chapter about life set is probably something that is going to be life-changing for a lot of people. Because sure, having a great mindset's one thing, but how you apply that is a whole other thing. And you know what you're talking about with your life set, I really like that. I wrote that down. That's one of the things that's going to be highlighted in my notes here as something that's super important to come back to. So yeah, absolutely phenomenal. And the other thing, like you said too, is you want to build your security. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing right now with my businesses too. I'm building this security, this safety net that I'm going to have no matter what happens in the future. I've got this other safety net going on for me. And a lot of people, they'll just say, okay, I started a business, it's generating me some income, and they'll leave it at that. Right now, I take all the income from my businesses and I reinvest it into the business to scale it higher and higher. I don't take any profits from any of my business right now. I try to live off of my income from the military plus whatever I'm putting to the side. So I try to live off of like 60% of my income. And it's super important to be able to do that, because now I'm going to be at a point where, you know, sure, I made some decent money while I was in the military, but at the same time, when I retire, I'll be making more than I did while I was in. And that's just something that it'll be a whole lifestyle change. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I love it. Congrats on that. And thanks for your service also, Mike.
Yeah,
awesome, Mark. Thank you. I appreciate that. But thank you for what you guys are doing, because you guys are on your own journey. But on top of that, you're giving back. And I always love when I have a guest on that isn't talking about just themselves and they're talking about giving back. But you guys going on different podcasts and sharing your story, that's also giving back, because you're giving other people an opportunity to check out what you're doing and learn from you so that they can maybe do something that changes their life. That's one of the other things that I'm all about. Like, I'm in the lifestyle, change your life business. And that's the whole point of this show and many other podcasts out there similar to this, that they bring awesome people on that can help shape and change people's lives. And you guys are definitely doing
it. Again, yeah, we appreciate
thank you for all that you do. But I want to ask you now too, because now we've got like the whole story about how you got started and how you transitioned from your 9-to-5 jobs to being full-time entrepreneurs. What do you enjoy the most about that, that you don't have to go to a 9-to-5 anymore and that you're fully self-served? So like, what is it that you enjoy the most about that?
I mean, for me, I think just not getting that pit in my stomach Sunday nights, or like every day is a Friday, basically. Every day is a Saturday. I love Mondays. And it's interesting, so many people hate Mondays, and that's like a seventh of your life. That's big time. So just like being willing to create the life you want. A lot of people have big frustrations. Well, focus on big solutions and get busy and build sweat equity, put hard work, and build your well before you need it. Hearing your story, Mike, it's like you had a sense of urgency, even though you make good money in the military. You don't need the income yet. Clearly, your lifestyle is sufficient with what you make from your plan A. But anyone on the listening end of this, have a sense of urgency. And what we did in our 20s completely set up our 30s and our lifestyle.
Set up our whole life, really.
Well, it set up our whole life. I just haven't experienced my 40s yet.
You guys definitely started much younger than me, and you're definitely in a good spot. But one thing you just said that I want to point out, which I thought was huge, is focus on big solutions, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because if you're not planning your life 5 to 10 years in advance, then what are you doing? Are you just waking up and living every day and saying, okay, we'll see what tomorrow brings? You need to plan. You need to have big solutions or this a picture of grandeur that your future, like what your life is going to be in the future. If you don't have some type of foundation like that, you're not going to push yourself. You need to set dates.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing I would say is just having fluidity in terms of the roles. There's a lot of stay-at-home parents. There's a lot of working parents. There's like a great divide, but I think it's neat to have fluidity of being able to be a full-time parent, but also be an entrepreneur, get on a Zoom call and talk to a bunch of entrepreneurs and train them in and empower them, and then go read books to my kids and put them to bed, or just have that option every day on how I want to carve and create my role, I think is just a real blessing and an honor. And I'm grateful that I've been able to create that in my life, because I think it's hard to be like very fixed in terms of our roles.
Yeah, the best way I can describe it, it's, do you ever, when you were a kid, those of us in the Midwest or North Midwest would have this, but you can relate maybe on the holiday where you wake up and you get ready to go to work or you get ready to go to school. And then you realize, oh man, it's Labor Day. I don't have to go to school today. And you're just like, or like we had snow days. It was like, you'd go to bed and be like, oh, I hope it's a snow day. And then there'd just be all this snow and school would be canceled. It's like that feeling of, man, I can do whatever I want with my day. And I think that is the feeling that you can have every day if you've customized and built a life and set yourself up to be able to actually authentically create it. And there's a lot of things worth fighting for. I think that buying back your life is worthy and a noble cause. And I think the world is a better place if more people wake up and get to do what they love. Doesn't mean you retire from life. You just retire from having to work for someone else to need the money. And we highly recommend pursuing that for most people. And it's been such a great and rewarding experience for us, for sure.
You're claiming your time back. You're getting that freedom. And the way I look at it is I don't plan to, like, I'm going to retire from the Navy. And even when I fully retire, it's not that I'm never going to consider myself retired. I'm going to consider myself financially independent and living how I want to live. I get to wake up and choose what I want to do with my life. And that's the whole part of financial freedom, right? Is the actual freedom part, the freedom to be able to do what you want to do. And sometimes I'll take a couple days off work, or I'll take a week or two off work, and I'll just live the life that I know I'm going to live outside of the military. And I'm like, okay, so I build out my plan for the week, like what I'm going to do with my business, what I'm going to do with real estate, who I'm going to call, what follow-ups I need to do. And just picture what it's going to be like. And I'm like, I didn't have to get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning today. I was able to get up a little bit later. I was able to get some coffee and go work out before I even started my day. That is fantastic. I can't wait for this to be reality. So it's little things like that motivate me and keep pushing me towards this goal. And going back to what you said too, Carrie, about fluidity, that's super important because we homeschool our kids, right? So we need to have fluidity because things change on a dime like that. And the wonderful part about being able to homeschool our kids, especially with my current career in the military, that when I get the opportunity to take time off, I don't have to worry about whether or not my kids can have off of school. Well, yeah, you can have off school. We're your teachers. Done. But we do year-round schooling. They don't get like a summer vacation. And it's easy to do in Hawaii because we live in endless summer. Right. Now, going back to what you're saying about being from the Midwest, I grew up on Long Island, New York. So I know what it's like to have that snow day and wake up and look outside and be like, yes, until you watch the news that all the schools are closed except for yours. That was always a disappointment. But there was days where it did close. And there was something very liberating about that, that even from your childhood that you could bring into adulthood. If you set yourself up correctly and you set these goals and you're goal oriented and you have the right mindset, you can set yourself up to where that freedom becomes reality for the rest of your life. And you don't need to look at the traditional, I'm going to retire at 65 anymore. You don't even have to even worry about that word retirement. You should just focus on freedom and being financially independent. That's the gist I'm getting out of this conversation with you guys. And I absolutely love it. I love your mindset. I love where you guys are at and everything that you're doing. So I want to ask you one more important question. All right. So this is for the audience right now. This is for somebody who's listening and they just got themselves out of debt and they're working at a 9-to-5 that they don't really like, and they want to start a side hustle and maybe start building their business so that they could eventually leave that 9-to-5 job. Are there any tips or tricks that the two of you would recommend for them to start looking at the very beginning?
Yes. The first goal should be, what do you want your side hustle to accomplish? So we say there's an epidemic of people starting side hustles, but there's an epidemic of people not finishing them. And we want to teach people how to finish. The only way you can finish is when you know what finishing looks like. So does that mean you want to create $2,000 in extra income a month? Do you need $50,000 in passive income? Or do you want to build something up like the tech company we're playing around with? I like to say, like, the goal is to build that to a $50 million business and flip it in 5 or 6 years. So those are like all different goals. And so if you don't know what kind of life you want to live, so this is an important question, because a lot of people say, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know, take a step back and be like, how do I want to live? Who do I want to be like? What kind of person do I want to be? Start to map that out. We call it a life vision, and we have a downloadable of how to put that together on our website. And then now take a step back and be like, okay, how does my side hustle fit into that? So then I can identify the right vehicle and the right side hustle and the right people who have the lifestyle that I want to manifest. And so if you take a little bit more of a global perspective first and then drill down into what does this side hustle need to do, that allows you way more ability to actually succeed and finish it versus just start it. And one of the things that we like to teach people how to do is how to evaluate businesses, because most people are stuck being trained how to evaluate. We've been trained how to evaluate products. Very few people have been trained how to evaluate a business system or a model. And again, we have in the book, like, some spots where you can actually start to rack and stack different business options. Do I want to be an agent? Do I want to do buy and hold? Or do I want to do commercial real estate? So these are, like, just within real estate, several different options. So I think people need to start thinking about, what capital do I have? Where do I want to go? What do I want to accomplish? What am I willing to risk? And then that starts to give you a little bit more parameters around that. And then, I don't know, you want to add anything, of course, to your top recommendation for someone?
Yeah. We talked about sweat equity, Mike. I think it's also figuring out what is the right work. And where should the bulk of your time be going? Because a lot of times side hustlers, they're excited about the fun, easy stuff.
Stuff they like, right?
Yeah, the stuff that comes naturally and that's easy. It doesn't have a lot of resistance mentally, emotionally, or physically for them. So it's maybe like getting the business card set up or getting the website, things that kind of feed their self-image and make them puff out their chest. Yeah, I am legit. I'm a business owner now. But what actually helps you is like getting your first sale, focusing on networking, learning the skills to network. So there's all these things that like might just be a tougher climb for people, but really makes the biggest difference in creating revenue and over time net profit. And so I urge people, as we talk about coaching, like having someone who has a bleacher seat on their life vision, to Craig's point, as well as their current set of skills, and what is the gap analysis on areas they're going to need to grow, and really fine point areas that are going to need the most amount of their investment to create, to yield the most and actually create the wins and the end game. And then just changing the mindset. Too often people put way more emphasis on the short term. I think social media exacerbates it. Because we see the sexy highlight reels, entrepreneurship is glorified. But the actual day-to-day of business ownership isn't always easy. It's a grind in so many ways. So being willing to prime your mindset around doing work for long enough, and long enough so you can actually reap the rewards of what you built. A lot of people do enough work in the early stages, but they don't stay around long enough to capture the wins because they just go chase another business because it looks easier or shinier or greener on the other side. So being willing to like anchor yourself in something. And that's why I think, as Craig was talking about, that deeper upfront analysis of what is the right what will help you make a good decision on choosing a business environment versus just dabbling in a bunch of things, but then chronically be hopping from one business to the next and not actually being patient enough to do the work for long enough.
Absolutely. That was like a fantastic last tidbit. And I want to touch on that a little bit because I normally don't elaborate on that last question, but I want to for this because there was something you said, Carrie, too. It was about like the grass isn't always greener. And a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to start my business. Everything's great. I got my website up. It's like all these little things that kind of feed your ego and you feel like mm-hmm. things are going great. And then you start looking at your website and you start looking at the stats and you're like, why am I getting no traffic? How come nobody, I have an awesome product or I have this and I have that. Why does nobody, you know, want any of this? Because what are you doing to attract people to you? What kind of work and sweat equity are you putting into it? If you're just building it and you think that this is like the field of dreams where you could build it and they will come, that's not how it works in real life. So you have to put in that effort. And that's why I really appreciate how you guys really finish that off, because that is super important that the grass is not always greener. And like you said, entrepreneurship is very glorified and it's a lot of times over-exaggerated because mm-hmm. I know too, even with myself on social media, when I post certain things, like I will over-exaggerate things, but it's important because it's building that brand and building that image. But at the same time, I talk about all the work that goes into it. And you see a lot of people don't do that. They'll just be like, oh yeah, look, I did this. I've got this much in sales. I got this, I got that. But you don't see the behind the scenes. You don't see all the effort and all the sweat and breaking back that they're doing to get there. And that's super important that people understand that you can't just create something overnight unless you create some type of product that is amazing and goes viral. Hey, if you do, awesome, congratulations. But not everybody can do that. You have to build from the bottom and take steps and take baby steps until you get to the point where you're walking, you go from crawling, walking to running to sprinting to completing a marathon.
There are exceptions, but don't bank on being the exception.
Absolutely. Because if you do, it'll never happen for you. Now, it may happen. That's great. But if not, if you keep grinding and you keep putting in the effort, eventually it's going to pay. And if you realize that you're doing something and you're putting in all this effort and it's not paying out, you need to reevaluate, see what you need to change, or maybe you just need to get out of that altogether. All right, Craig and Carrie, this has been absolutely phenomenal. I really enjoyed this conversation so much. Now, there's going to be people that want to know more about you guys and what you're all about and what you're doing. So where can people find more information about you? Do you have a website you could share with us, social media? I know you guys have a podcast. I'd love to hear about that. Please share away with everything that you've got.
Yeah.
Go ahead, take it away, hon.
Yeah, our website is tandemconsulting.co. And we've got a lot of those links and freebies like the Evaluator, the Life Vision Doc, if people want to leverage that in any way. That also has links to our book on all the major platforms and feeds. It's called So You Want to Start a Side Hustle. That's the title of the book. We're pretty active on LinkedIn. I do a lot of weekly content. Craig's on there putting out a lot of good stuff. And then we've got Instagram, tandem.consulting. So we're around. We're on all the major channels. So if we can be of any support or help to people, that's our vision and our overall goal. And the podcast is Tandem Talks, and it's all about entrepreneurship and cool things, interesting ideas, important mindsets to help people, especially from people who have legitimately scaled large businesses.
Awesome. Hey, Craig and Carrie, I just want to say thank you again so much for taking time to chat with me today. I'm going to make sure I have all those links in the show notes. So for everybody that's listening, you can either click it, or if you're driving, take the mental note of what they just said, of where to go and how to check it out, and maybe pull it up later and go check it out. This has been phenomenal. You guys are both a wealth of knowledge, and I really genuinely enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, so did we.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. And congrats on all your success and everything you've done. And also from my side, appreciate the service. So keep it rolling, awesome, man. We're looking forward to seeing you do some big things.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.
The Average Joe Finances Podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Do not use this for any real estate or investment making decisions.